I'm willing to negotiate. So don't put me in the Gary Shelton category. That doesn't mean I'm not wolfing down two kielbasas during halftime. That's a nasty habit. I got to work on that.
Today's Memorial Day edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. They're open today. The Memorial Day sales are fantastic. It's the end of the month. Their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles is always in effect. GM Sean Sullivan is ready for you, waiting for you. BillCurryFord.com or just stop in a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Beautiful showroom, beautiful vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. And we thank Big Storm Beer. It's beer drinking season. It kind of always is, but it really is now. Big Storm Beer is Florida's very best craft beer. Truly, very best craft beer. So many great choices. The Bromosa, their signature Tangerine IPA, Tropic Pressure Golden Ale, Sunny Key Lime. So many greats. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. And today, feel free to dine. Come off the beach and head over to Big Storm in Clearwater. Gorgeous 3,000 square feet of outdoor covered seating. And they've got the beautiful indoor tap room. Also tap rooms in Odessa on Success Drive, at Orlando in the Amway Center, accessible every single day. And their beautiful Cape Coral location, Big Storm Beer. We love them. We appreciate their support of the Bucks and Joe Bucks fan. And of course, that's the home of our watch parties for road games. Ira's out there. Big Storm Beer. Thank you. Buccaneers fans, episode 2 of this week is here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. We're fired up, Ira. We got a lot to talk about. You are the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Pasco County, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Sage, I want to encourage everybody to go back, listen to the last podcast. It's at joebucksfan.com on all the podcast platforms. And of course, as always, it's presented by Bill Curry Ford. The Memorial Day sales are flowing. GM Sean Sullivan is fired up to help you. His team is fantastic. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, I got a Hall of Fame question for you, a couple of them that tie to the current Bucks. And I think this is important because you are the ultimate insider when it comes to the Hall of Fame. But first, how are you? And also, tell us the party details. I know you got your invitation to the big John Lynch party in Canton coming up in a couple of months.
Absolutely. My wife's coming with me. Her first trip to Canton. It's a great trip. I've been there three or four times. And, of course, we are going to the Lynch party. And then we're going to the Lynch enshrinement. I sent him a text the other day about who did he pick for his presenter. He hasn't answered me yet. Either that means he hasn't decided yet or he doesn't want to tell me. I'm not sure. But, Lee, before we go any further with this podcast, let's remember what this holiday is all about on a serious note for 30 seconds. Lee, you are a student of history. You watch a lot of historical things. You read a lot of stuff. You talk about the ultimate sacrifice, World War II, Korea. I don't know how you feel, Lee, but when I see people at an airport that are dressed in military garb and I walk up to them and, you know, you say thank you for your service, which I do. But, Lee, it seems that's not enough. It's like a cliche. But I say it anyway, Lee, so put in perspective what this holiday is all about.
Yeah, I agree with you. I 110%. You know, you hear some people, you're watching a sporting event, baseball game, whatever, on Memorial Day, and they'll say, Happy Memorial Day. I'm like, I don't know if that's proper for me. But, yeah, my dad fought in a Pacific theater, and he had his ship sunk. So, you know, I know all about what these guys have gone through. I've heard the stories. And, you know, when I was a young journalist, I actually, wrote stories, veteran-like type stories. I wrote a story where I interviewed survivors of the Bataan Death March. So, yeah, I mean, it hits home with me. And, by the way, if anybody wants to see something really cool, Amazon.com Enterprise 360. You brought Memorial Day, Ira, and I read today that there are, I don't know how many million of men and women served in World War II. There's less than 400,000 still alive. So the numbers are dwindling quickly.
Steve, just to put a wrap on it, I would say in another 10 years, Steve, by 2030, there's going to be very, very few survivors of World War II. Very, very few. A handful. And let's not forget what this is all about, Steve. It's important that we honor these people.
Oh, absolutely, Sage. Actually, back in 2005, when I was at the Tampa Tribune, you know, I worked on the intellectual side for a while, Ira, in the news department. I did a feature story, got approved to do it, and they paid for me to travel. I talked to the three remaining World War One veterans in the state of Florida at the time. Wow. So that was a neat thing, and there's a lot of history to it, lots to remember on Memorial Day for sure for a lot of people, and that'll never change, unfortunately. Sage, here's the thing, Hall of Fame, and I just want to get it on the record here, so Javier has it as he is the official record keeper, the official secretary of the Ira Kaufman podcast.
Stenographer.
The court record keeper. Sage, I want to remind you that Lee and I, actually, I didn't mention this to Lee, but I did pay you already, Ira, to bring us some incredible gems, extra money from your Hall of Fame trip. You know, I know that even though your wife's coming, you will have your tape recorder in your pocket. You might have one less beer or two, and you'll squeeze the Glazers at that party to give you something on the record, and we'll be all set.
Absolutely, Steve.
I can just see Ira telling his wife, hey, honey, I'll take you on a trip this summer. Where do you want to go? Let's go to Paris. No. Well, let's go to New York. I don't think so. Well, how about Las Vegas? Where do you have a plan on going? Middle of Ohio.
and honey, Isbit's paid for it, so don't worry about it.
You know, speaking of that, guys, I have a history, and my wife never forgets to remind me of this, but, you know, I remember we went to a thing for Monty Kiffin. We went to a thing for Rondé Barber, maybe Brooks, that the Bucks threw. And, you know, we walk in as a couple, and within 90 seconds, I'm off on a tangent. And she's standing there talking to Darcy Glazer, you know, and this it happens time and again. She walks in, and she doesn't know these people, a lot of them, although she knows the Glazers a bit from, you know, league meetings. But I've got a tendency, gentlemen, to go off on my own. Ooh, wait a minute. There's, you know, there's Cozy Coleman. I got to get a quote from Cozy Coleman, and I leave my wife behind. And you know what, Steve? That's a nasty habit. I got to work on that.
All right, Sage, look, Warren Sapp, speaking of the Hall of Fame, Warren Sapp revealed on an obscure podcast recently that when he talks to Derrick Brooks and they discuss really what it takes to get into the Hall of Fame, and I guess they sit around and talk about candidates, and you know, those conversations really should be put on pay-per-view. It might help get Sapp some money. But Sapp revealed that they talked about sort of what gets you to the Hall of Fame is how many years anybody can say without question that you were a top five player at your position, top five. And, you know, so that sort of means, well, maybe you have to be top three if everyone's going to agree you're going to be top five. You know what I mean? So Sapp talked about this, but the context was Devin White. And he said that White has sort of collected his first chip for the future, because he is without question a top five linebacker in the NFL right now. Sapp says he's the fastest middle linebacker anywhere, faster than Ray Lewis, and that he is that good. He and David combined are certainly the best tandem inside. So I wanted to ask you, Ira, what you think of that whole top five thing, if that's something that ever comes up in the room. You know, do you take that nugget from Sapp and say, maybe I should look at everybody as a potential top five player year by year? And then I guess my last part of the whole question would be Lavonte David. How many times would you say he's been top five? And I thought about it. You know, maybe you could say that 3-4 years in the NFL, David has been top five.
It's an interesting concept. You know, everybody's trying to define, Lee, what is a Hall of Famer? Ira Miller, who was a veteran scribe, once said, can you tell the history of the NFL without you know, mentioning this guy's name prominently? I think along those lines, if you agree with that definition, then Doug Williams probably gets a bust. Lee, it all depends on how you want to look at things. This top five thing is interesting. I'll say this. You know, look at a guy like Andre Johnson. I see there's some Twitter stuff on Andre Johnson right now. Top five wide receiver. I think you could probably make that argument, Lee, for maybe 5-6 years. Andre Johnson, he was that good. Mm-hmm. You know, nondescript teams, Houston, they didn't do anything. They didn't get deep into the playoffs. Not a lot of people know Andre Johnson. Very good player. Lee, I'm afraid when it comes to Lavonte David, I don't like saying it, but Lee, there's another 44 people that are sitting around that table, men and women. They didn't watch Lavonte David on a weekly basis because for most of those years, Lee, as you mentioned, we're talking about the Den of Depression, right? Yeah. They're not on national TV. They got one game because the league demanded it, one primetime game. And you're sitting in Pittsburgh. Do you really know about Lavonte David? So you're sitting there and you're the representative for the Hall of Fame from Pittsburgh. And you look around and you say, well, where's his Pro Bowls? Where's his All Pros?
Yeah.
And that's what's going to come up. And if I say, well, he was one of the three best linebackers in football for 6 or 7 years, they're going to say, back it up, prove it. And it's going to be tough for me to do so. So this ain't Warren Sapp, a two-time all-decade player. This ain't Derek Brooks, an all-decade player. This isn't John Lynch, a ring of honor for two teams and a master intimidator. It's going to be hard to make a case for Lavonte David, and ultimately, Lee, I don't think you're going to be able to.
You know what I'm thinking? It might be easier to make a case for Lavonte David than Rondé Barber.
And whoa.
Because actually, Lavonte has numbers. You can back it up. Lavonte David has Kuechly-like numbers. And I don't think anybody will blink an eye if you say Kuechly gets in on his first or second try. I don't think anybody would think twice if you say that. And Lavonte David's got Kuechly-like numbers. And I know you're going to bring up the Rondé Barber sacks. You're right. Don't get me wrong. I think Rondé Barber is absolutely a Hall of Famer. And it drives you wild when people call him a system player. That is such a BS empty excuse. But I think you might be able to make an argument for Lavonte David easier than Rondé Barber.
Well,
because he's got the numbers. Not, he doesn't have the Pro Bowl numbers. And, you know, that you pretty much documented why that is. Because the nondescript team, lousy team, not even nondescript. They were horrible. And the only time they got on prime time is when the NFL put a gun to the network's heads. One of you guys have to take him. That's going to hurt him. That's going to hurt him bad.
He does have numbers, but, Steve, he doesn't have the honors. And if he's a contemporary of Kuechly and Kuechly keeps getting into the Pro Bowl, and, Steve, a lot of these 45 voters are the same guys that vote for the AP All-Pro team, that's a tough argument, Steve.
Well, Sage, of course, I got to disagree or at least take a different angle here. And I think it's too early to tell on Lavonte David because let's just say the Bucs win the Super Bowl this year. Let's imagine more glory. Well, now he's a two-time Super Bowl winner. Mm-hmm. Now he's the captain and the center of that defense. He's going to pass the 1,000 tackle mark, Ira, in the next two seasons, which puts him in some very, very strong company. And if he stays on after these next 2 years, and let's just say he goes another three at a little notch below, but puts up some incredible numbers in total, you know, and he gets his due, let's say a Pro Bowl this year after this season, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, you can make enough of a case with the all-time numbers and you know, Sage gets up there and says, no one got screwed in the history of the NFL more than Lavonte David. You know, that's a powerful opening. You know, I don't know. I don't think the book is closed on David yet because he has a chance to put up some really historic tackle numbers and be a two-time Super Bowl winner, because you know that carries a lot of weight, especially if they do win the Super Bowl this year. It's going to be because the defense is top five to kind of defense again.
You know, it's interesting. The two Super Bowls, the hardware. Lee, I think he needs a little more personal hardware. Another Pro Bowl would help. Another All-Pro would help. You know, he's going up against Bobby Wagner. Lee, an inside linebacker for Seattle, been very good for a long time. Sure. Kuechly, of course. But you're right. Was Kuechly that much better than Lavonte David?
Yes.
Maybe
with yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're in the same sense. They're in the same sense.
I could just hear some of our readers screaming bloody murder when you mentioned the Pro Bowls, Ira. Screaming like, wait a minute, Gerald McCoy had 6 Pro Bowls. You're saying he's a Hall of Famer? I could just hear that. You know how vocal the anti-GMC crowd is. I could just hear them wailing. Are you saying he's a Hall of Famer? He had 6 Pro Bowls.
I can say that unequivocally, Lee. Gerald McCoy is not getting a Canton unless he's got a ticket. He's not getting in that building.
Yeah. I mean, people even go bananas if you even hint that Gerald McCoy will be up on the Ring of Honor, which I think you make a very good case. And, oh, my gosh, they get triggered when you say that. Yeah. Oh, no.
Ira's wife's going back to Canton before Gerald McCoy is. Let's put it that way. All right. No disrespect, of course, to lovely Mrs. Kaufman. Just having some fun here. Sage, pull it back to current times here and current events. But DeSapp did say that, and that's pretty high praise for Devin White. And I guess if we wanted to sit around and have Big Storm beers and dive further into the Levante David argument, we could say Devin White might be his biggest hindrance to the Hall of Fame, because everyone over the next few years might be remembering the Bucks as Devin White's the linebacker there, not David. But that's more chatter for another day. Ira, let me throw this out there. You know, Bruce Arians decided to cut short the OTAs, like a lot of teams did. They got a mandatory minicamp June 7th through 9th. I'd be a little surprised if they even have it on that third day. They've been known to cut it short and eliminate the third day. So the players are going to be going away from the 8th or the 9th on, and not a lot of time in there with the veterans. And then, of course, you got the early game on September 9th, and the Bucks can start training camp subsequently a little bit earlier. Do you think the coaches, that there's any nerves with this? There's any sort of discomfort that the coaching staff has, knowing that these guys are coming back and it's kind of loose until we get back here for training camp?
Not at all, Steve. As a matter of fact, I think all this works to Tampa Bay's favor, Lee, because there's not a lot of new pieces here. There's a tremendous amount of continuity. They're the envy of the league in terms of continuity and in terms of talent, and that is quite a 1-2 punch. So for these teams that drafted, rookie quarterbacks that are going to play week one, that's a problem. The truncated OTAs, people aren't showing up. I don't think that hurts the Bucks at all. They proved last year what this team can do when you have a Brady and minimal practice time. And along those lines, Lee, I'm going to throw this out. You might think I'm crazy, Mr. DeKemper, but I'm going to throw it out right now. Along those lines of, I'm not worried at all, Lee, I give Tom Brady 1 or 2 series in the opening preseason game, and that's it. You don't see Tom Brady even in the third preseason game. I'm shutting him down. You don't see him, Lee. That's my strategy.
I wouldn't argue against it. He had no preseason last year, and look what he did. He had no OTAs last year, look what he did. When you just said, Ira, that the Bucks have proven what they could do with Brady, you could have stopped right there. Everything else is insignificant. What they could do with Brady, stop. Like the old telegraphs, stop. You didn't need to go any farther.
Steve, let these other teams bemoan the lack of veterans showing up at OTAs and the shortened OTA season, and let the other teams scream about it. The Bucks have no complaints, Steve. None.
I got you, Ira, but I got to disagree at least a little bit here. I think you got to work with Tom Brady. If Tom Brady says, I want to play 8 series through the preseason, Arians, I think, has got to come back to him and say, I'll give you 4. I mean, if Brady he's still human. If he feels he needs a little confidence boost on his knee, if he wants to take a couple of shots just to get his rhythm, if he wants to feel the offense and what it looks like and some of the new pieces when it's a little bit real, if he feels he needs it, I don't deny it to him, Ira. I would work with him. I would negotiate with him a little bit. But if he wants to play, he played a lot of years in preseason in New England, and my guess is that's because he wanted to. I'm not talking in his 20s. I'm talking in his late 30s and beyond. He was not shut down in the preseason, and my guess is that's because Tom Brady said, I'm not getting shut down.
I'm willing to negotiate, but Lee, this guy's going to be 44 in August. I'm not giving him. I know it's Tom Brady, Lee. I'm not giving him everything he wants in terms of his preseason playing time. I'm not doing that. That's where I'm drawing the line. I got to be the coach. I got to be concerned about this franchise. I'll negotiate, but Lee, I don't necessarily have to give Brady everything he wants in terms of playing time in the preseason.
If Brady says he wants to play six series, if I'm Aaron, he's like, okay, play six series. I'd put in Keyshawn Vaughn or someone lesser, and I'd have nothing but runs up the middle.
I'm not taking any chances, Steve. I'm not.
Runs up the middle. I would just call nothing but runs up the middle with a lesser running back. That way that series is three plays long, and out off the field you come, Tommy.
I got you guys. I agree with limiting the risk. Yeah, he's going to have some good reasons why he wants some time, and I think they'll give him a little bit, but I don't think they'll shut him down. I really think we'll see him for maybe four series tops.
Okay.
Sage, you got people coming over, you're having a barbecue, you're pulling things out that you haven't in a year, and all of a sudden you find mold in your house. You can't blow it off. If you find it in the garage, it's the time of year where it's going to grow and grow and grow quickly. You have to call Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. That's the company in the broader, greater Tampa Bay area that handles any kind of mold disasters. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. They're not just a mold guy. No, they are true experts. They are not going to rip you off. They will work with your insurance company if it's an insurance matter. But best of all, they're going to come to your home, give you a full assessment, absolutely free, with their top technology and their experts. Josh Martin, the boss over at Florida's Elite Restoration, he's a friend. He's a friend of Ira. You guys hang out in Publix parking lots. You drink beer together. Josh Martin and his team, they're fantastic. They're a small company, family-owned, but they're big enough to cover the Bay Area and do it right. Floridaselite.com. Bookmark that site, because anything happens in your home, you get a fire damage from lightning, or you know how that goes, Ira. You got to know who to call.
Hey, Steve, there's another factor in all this, and it's not a minor one. People are selling their homes in hours, and eight people are bidding on houses, and they're giving more than you asked for. So in this environment, with homes being shuffled back and forth, you know, a big part of selling your home is passing the inspection, no matter how many people you got bidding on it. And if you've got water damage and you've tried to cover it up and you didn't think that much of it and it happened a year ago or whatever, or you still got some standing water, you're going to flunk. And if you flunk, you're back where you started. And it might cost you a lot of money, more money than not attending to it when you started by calling Florida's Elite Restoration. So, Steve, you're selling your home, there's an inspection, and mold could very much come into the picture at that point.
Sage wisdom from the sage himself. Ira, look, speaking of Brady, everybody's got a take, everybody weighs in, and it's always a little bit interesting, always a little bit different on the whole Tom Brady effect, right? It's just, what does it really mean? How deep does it run? Who does it really change? You know, I know you threw a 90% figure on that a handful of podcasts ago as far as his impact and turning the team around. I thought, well, maybe it's more like 2/3. And I know we've written on Joe Buck's fan many ways how huge it was. But O.J. Howard checked in on the Pat McAfee show with a recent interview, and he talked about it. And Lee, correct me if I'm wrong, O.J. Howard implied, he said straight up, he's like, when Tom says to do something, and he was speaking about the quarterback position, when Tom says to do something, it's done. He doesn't have to say it five times. And the implication was that the previous quarterback might have had to say something four and five times before anyone would listen to him. Are you reading it that way, Lee? And if so, Ira, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I do read it that way. And it's like, well, maybe the culture was pretty bad. The people were just going through the motions. They didn't give a damn. They just wanted the money from Team Glazer. My ears got perked up like a German Shepherd when I heard him say that. That's very interesting. He also said something along the fact that one thing that he liked about Brady was you knew that Brady always had your back. Now, was he talking about Jameis? Was he talking about Fitzpatrick? Was he talking about someone else? And immediately, the first thing that came to my mind was DeSean Jackson. I just thought that was a very... He had some subtle things that I thought, you start peeling away the onion skins, it's something major there.
You know, Lee, these great quarterbacks, they put their stamp on the franchise. Look, I understand that. And Peyton Manning did it when he went to Denver. Did Brett Favre do it when he went to, the Jets and Minnesota, to an extent. If Rodgers goes to another team, he'll have impact. Steve, they all fall short of number 12. They all fall short. There's been nobody like him because he comes in with the hardware. He's got the hardware. And, you know, with all due respect, you know, Philip Rivers doesn't do that when he goes to Indianapolis. It's just not the same. Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And the players respect, you know, what have you done? How many pelts you got on the wall? How many? And Brady came in with 6. Well, what are you going to do? Argue with this guy? And if Brady's talking to Carlton Davis and sees something in training camp, the way Davis is angling his body, covering a receiver, and he says to Carlton Davis, you know, if you do that in the game, I'm going to read that, and you're going to be in trouble. Do it this way. It'll help us more. And that's my way of saying it doesn't matter. Offense, defense, he's all over the place. Little subtle things that, you know, really help you win games. I wouldn't be surprised if he's talking to special teams players. Great.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt little things out of the big personal experience. I know high school football, but I remember when I had a Tom Landry disciple, Al Davis disciple, was my coach. He comes in, he starts telling me little things, and it's like, oh my God. It was like a revelation. And what I thought was also revealing, you know, OG Howard talking about the culture. He said when Brady came in, the change in culture was so dramatic, it felt like he was back at Alabama. Well, we know who runs Alabama.
Yeah.
Nick Saban, like a drill sergeant. He said it felt like Alabama. Everything was laser focused all of a sudden, which is to say that it was not focused before Brady got there. And speaking of Brady's impact on the team, I saw this again this past week. NFL Films has, you know, like a half-hour breakdown of the Super Bowl, and I watched it again. I could watch it 2-3 times a day, but I watched it for the second or third time this week, and something jumped out at me toward the end of it. You know, the Bucks have won the Super Bowl. Players are embracing each other, doing confetti angels on the ground, et cetera, et cetera. Two different video clips. Levante David coming up to Brady and hugging him. Mike Evans coming up to Brady and hugging him. Both Evans and Levante David, the very first thing they said to Brady when they were embracing, thank you.
That's a great point, Lee. You know, and those two guys have been through the losing, Steve. That's the common denominator. Steve, we've been around Mike Evans in that locker room during that playoff drought, you know, those last 6 or 7 years of it. And, man, did Mike Evans, all he wanted to do was win. That's all he wanted to do was win. And Arians always talks about how Evans never bitches if he gets 2 catches. He doesn't bitch about it, even behind closed doors. That's a great aspect of Mike Evans that doesn't get played up often enough is his unselfishness. He's rooting for Chris Godwin. He's Godwin's biggest booster. And Evans is a hell of a competitor. All he wanted to do was win, and here comes Brady, and all of a sudden he's got a Super Bowl ring on his finger. And, you know, Lee, you could make a hell of an argument. Brady's the most underpaid player in the NFL. You could make that argument.
I don't think it's an argument. I think it's fact. I think it's absolute fact. He's worth 3-4 times what he's getting paid. Here's some things about Evans. First off, Ira, I will use a verb I think you will enjoy. Visibly, you could tell with Mike Evans in the locker room that the losing gnawed at him. You know what? As a personal guy, we've always seen the stories about he randomly donates money to, he'll see something on social media where a child lost a father in a car accident, or a family lost a child in a death, and they're struggling to pay for a funeral expense. He'll cut him a check. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a good dude.
Steve, there are times that, you know, when Godwin has a big game. And of course, you know, Godwin is masterful at the his catch percentage, you know, based on targets. He's great at it. He's better than Evans in that catch percentage category. And that's a big one. And every time I start thinking, you know, hey, I don't think you can really choose between Godwin and Evans. And I think I mentioned it to Arians once, and he made a fair point, Steve. He says, you got to remember, week in and week out, Mike Evans gets more attention from opposing defenses than Chris Godwin. And that is not a knock on Godwin. It's a reflection on Evans. And in that context, Steve, you still got to say Evans is the number one guy.
Yeah, and it's a critical component going into a 2022, and we're not thinking about that right now. But ultimately, Chris Godwin is a number one receiver who has had the benefit of being treated like a number two receiver. And nobody's going to know what he's like as a number one until he really is the number one. And then the question is, do you pay that guy $20 million because he's an untested number one? And that's a decision for the big guys at the Bucks to make. But yeah, Evans is the top dog. You know, if he locks up that 1,000 yards again, Ira, this year, and gets those 8 years in a row, and is two seasons ahead of Randy Moss, and of course, I think he'll do it, especially with the 17-game season. So let's say he's got to get, let's just say he gets the 8 years in a row. Man, that might lock him up for the Hall of Fame right now, Ira. Those 8 years that no one's ever done and no one's probably going to do for a long, long time. It'll be an interesting situation with Evans.
But that's a very powerful argument, Steve. Very powerful.
Ira, I got a stat for you, Chris Godwin's stat. And I know this is going to, you're going to get wound up when you hear this. This week, James Palmer, NFL Network, threw this out there. And I know drop stats are not an official stat. And one person's drop is another man's uncatchable ball.
Actually, Lee, the analogy, Lee, is one man's cold tater tot is another man's delicacy.
There you go. of course, we're talking to the human seagull here, you know, when it comes to fries and tater tots on your side. as a wide receiver, not as a special teams guy, as a wide receiver, Chris Godwin has more tackles than drops.
That's unbelievable.
We'll call that hashtag Jameis is what we'll call it.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great, great stat. Ira, when Lee painted that picture of Mike Evans hugging Tom Brady and saying just an exhausted and an appreciative thank you, it reminded me of, before COVID when you would, just go up to the chef at the $1 press box and the bananas Foster would come out. You'd fill your gut and you just hug the guy and say thank you.
Now wait a minute. Your culinary observations on me are usually right on, but I haven't been indulging in the bananas Foster, gentlemen. I have not. So don't put me in the Gary Shelton category. Shelton used to get online with 90 seconds left before the half, so he can he can make sure that he gets there before it runs out. I do not indulge. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not wolfing down two kielbasas during halftime. Doesn't mean that.
All right, let's move on from the food, which, of course, those kielbasas go great with the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, Big Storm Beer. Pick it up at their tap rooms, Clearwater, the gorgeous flagship location, outdoor music, outdoor seating, indoor beautiful tap room, and, of course, the Odessa tap room, Cape Coral, and Orlando, right inside the Amway Center, which you can access from the outside. They're open like a regular tap room there, so it's a fantastic brand new place. Ira, Bill Polian made a simple explanation here on O.J. Howard. He said the Bucks, their only weakness is age and durability. Therefore, when that's the situation, you need to protect yourself and have somebody that you can trade if you need to, if one of your old guys goes down and isn't as durable this year. And he pointed to JPP, Vita Vea, Levante David, Sue. And he said O.J. Howard, once he gets healthy, once he shows what he can do, he might be a pretty good trade chip. I agree with him wholeheartedly. Bucks don't need to be paying this guy $6 million if everybody's healthy and they need a piece that can really, really help this season. Although last year we watched the number three tight end, Cameron Brate, contribute quite a bit because the tight end depth got tested. So I don't know, but I agree with it, Ira. What do you think?
I think for Howard to emerge Lee as a significant trade chip, he's got to show something this year. He's got to show something. So what I'm saying is, Lee, his body of work up till now, I don't think that makes him a significant trade chip. I don't think he's shown enough. Now, he wasn't off to a bad start with Brady. I think he had two scoring catches in four games. I think he did. And then he went down. There's no reason to think Brady won't develop a nice little rapport with O.J. Howard. He develops it with everybody else, Lee. And, you know, if Chris Hogan can emerge as a go-to receiver, then certainly O.J. Howard can. I don't think he's shown enough as a professional, not up to this point, where another team is going to covet him. No, not covet him. But if he gets off to a good start. Now, Lee, I haven't said that. I'm not in a hurry to trade O.J. Howard because Gronkowski, his durability, not last year, but over the course of his career, it's a little iffy. It's a little iffy. And I don't know if Cam Brate can carry the load as the number one tight end. I don't know that. So I'm not in a hurry to trade Howard, but I understand Polian's point. But I think Howard has to get off to a good start to enhance his status as trade bait.
I don't disagree with anything you said. Cam is a good receiving tight end. We know he's not much of a block. And speaking of blocking, O.J. Howard certainly wasn't much of a block. At least he didn't impress me as a blocker. And in this interview he did with Pat McAfee, and this is where it starts to get interesting. He was saying prior to Arians coming in, which is to say Dirk Cutter, he was used a lot more downfield passing. He said with Arians, he would play 67 plays a game. And of those plays, 40 to 50 of those plays were run plays. So he was blocking most of the time. He's not that good of a blocker. When Gronk came in, all of a sudden that freed him up to go down the middle more. And I think we were starting to see signs of what O.J. Howard could be, and he blew out his ankle. So in this interview, he kind of whet my appetite. Said, oh, man, if Gronk's going to be a blocker, which he was a lot of the times last year, he's a very good blocker, what can O.J. Howard do? You have an excellent point, Ira, about Gronk's durability. Last year was, I believe, only the second year of his career where he played all 16 games. So that year off sure did a body good for him. Will that continue this year? Boy, the Bucs have been awful lucky with injuries. You know, Howard notwithstanding, Villa notwithstanding. That, and especially up front on the offensive line. Will that luck continue with Gronk? I don't know, but that's a very good point you made, Ira. Bucks should not be in a hurry to trade Howard for anything unless they're pretty darn confident Gronk's going to be healthy.
Steve, if he plays six or eight games with the Bucks and Brady, and he's just a guy out there, you know, and at the midway point, he's got, you know, 21 catches, 270 yards, and two touchdown catches, then I'm over O.J. Howard at that point. I mean, I'm going to give him his chance with Brady. Brady makes everybody look good. Brady makes everybody a player. And if he can't do it with O.J. Howard, then, you know, O.J. Howard's done as a Buccaneer in my book. He's not going to come back in 2022. He's gone. And he'll go down as a bad draft pick. He's got to do something with Brady.
I got to say, Howard's pretty overrated. I mean, if he was on another team, what would we be saying about O.J. Howard? Keep in mind, he was, quote-unquote, to use your phrase, Ira, just a guy on the 2019 Bucks. He didn't have a good year. Arians even quipped at the last game of the season. After the last game of the season, he was asked about Howard and said, well, he had his best game blocking today. And this was like the top three offense in the league. I believe the number one passing offense with Jameis throwing for 5,000 yards. Howard played 14 games. He caught one touchdown, was invisible, and it was not a good year. And he came back. He had a nice start. Brady was talking him up like he does all his receivers. But I don't know. It's just sort of it seems a little weird to talk about Gronk's durability when O.J. Howard's is just as bad or worse. So it's sort of a weird kind of feeling to talk about they need him because of Gronk's durability when he's not very durable to begin with. Plus, the offense was humming and kicking ass and gelling completely without O.J. Howard. So I don't know. It's but like you said, it's sort of a catch, because in order for him to be a trade chip, he's got to get off to a good start. And if he gets off to a good start, well, maybe you don't want to get rid of him. So, but good for him. He's collecting $6 million this year, and the Bucks will see if he's a bounce back kind of guy. But otherwise, he's going to go down as a bad pick if he doesn't have the year this year.
You know, that's a great stat, Steve. That's a great stat, Lee. You know, let's remember, the Bucks had the number three offense in the league with Jameis Winston, not only Tom Brady, but with Jameis Winston. They were scoring all kinds of points, all kinds of yardage, and O.J. Howard caught one touchdown pass. I mean,
he had him blocking much more than Cutter ever had.
That is very, very damning that he caught one touchdown. Lee, no matter who you want to blame, the fact is he caught one touchdown on a very prolific offense.
Well, I'll sum it up, although this is super water under the bridge, especially in light of the Bucks won a Super Bowl a few months ago. But I said it at the time, I still think it, and if Howard has a rotten year, there's no doubt about it. The Bucks blew it by not wheeling, dealing, and getting Cook. If you want to say, well, Dalvin Cook shouldn't have been a first-round pick, okay, then trade back. And they didn't do anything, and they were within striking distance getting Cook in the second round. He didn't do it. And maybe it's a good thing, because as much as I like Dirk Cutter, he could not, or did not, one of the two, whichever you choose, maybe both, he couldn't develop running backs. So maybe Cook would have been a bust. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that the Bucks should have got Cook, not O.J. Howard. I know there's a lot of Bucks fans that agree with me, but that's water under the bridge, because you know what? The Bucks have a ring. The Vikings do not.
This is Howard's last stand. Last stand is 2021. Otherwise, he's gone.
Sage, you've been firing off all kinds of wisdom on this podcast. I'm going to ask you for some more. And it's a topic that you are very familiar with, very intimate with, very knowledgeable about. It's not the Hall of Fame. It's not your wife. It's 1980s football. And Sage, I bring this up because Arians was talking on something called the Green Light podcast, sort of a unique podcast run by Chris Long. He has a very unique delivery and asks a lot of questions that most people don't. And he was asked on that podcast about Giovanni Bernard. And we already heard Jason Light talk about how third downs are going to be different this year because of Giovanni Bernard. And Arians went on and said this, Ira. He said that it's absolutely huge that they have signed Bernard. He talked about what David Johnson did for the team in Arizona, and that he was a true wide receiver type of running back. And he went on to say that if you can keep people in base defense, for them, 12 personnel on offense, the Bucks want to run two tight ends and one running back. If you have a mismatch at running back, then he can go out and beat safeties and linebackers all day long. And he said that basically that's been Arians' philosophy since he got going in the NFL. And that Giovanni Bernard completes that 80s philosophy. And he loves when tight ends are tight ends, which goes back to what Lee said, that they kept O.J. Howard into block so much more. And your matchup nightmare was your running back out of the backfield, that this completes the philosophy of the Arians way of playing football. And Bernard is that critical. What do you think of this?
I agree with everything he said. I think Bernard is a very important pickup. You know, guys, I was NFL Network. They were replaying the Falcons Patriots Super Bowl. And, Brady was trying to come.
The Falcons lost.
Yeah, they were trying to come back from a 28-3 deficit. And every time I looked up, Brady was throwing a ball to James White in the flat. I mean, every freaking time. I don't know how many catches he ended up in that game. And I also remember Tevin Coleman beating Ninkovich off to the right sideline when Atlanta went up 28-3. When you play two tight ends, they say that you're kind of dictating what the defense is going to be when you're in a two tight end lineup, and then you got somebody like Bernard. Now, look, with all due respect to Fournette, Bernard's better for this sole purpose of catching balls and keeping the chain moving. Bernard's a step up. He's an upgrade in that regard. He's a huge upgrade over Jones in that regard. And he's an upgrade over Fournette in that regard. Lee, Steve's trying to wangle three more points a game out of the Buck offense, you know, and I think this is a way to do it. I mean, it keeps drives going. It keeps the defense fresh. And Brady's, you know, got another eight snaps a game, and he's going to carve you up a little, even a little more. Bernard is very, very adept at this stuff. Screens, I think, are going to be more of a part of the Arians slash Leftwich playbook. And the guy is an outstanding receiver, and I don't think it's going to take long for Buck fans to really rally around this guy. He's a savvy veteran. I've talked to a longtime observer of Bengals football, a guy that I respect. Says he says not only is Bernard a heck of a role player, and that's what he is. He's a role player. He ain't getting 18 carries. That ain't going to happen. That's not Bernard. He did fill in for Mixon a little bit last year when Mixon went down, but he's primarily a safety valve, you know, catching balls, and he's also a tremendous teammate. A tremendous teammate. I think it was an outstanding pickup for the Bucs. And Lee, I'll tell you this, they weren't the only team that was after Bernard, and they got him.
Hey, they got Bernard because of Brady and because of he's chasing the ring, you know, kind of like an NBA. Here's both the good and the bad about Bernard. There really isn't anything bad about Bernard. I saw one play in that glorified flag football OTA practice that told me this guy's a third down back. He caught a pass in the left flat and juked the guy out of his shoes. Yeah, it's flag football. I get it. But he showed me more. The first time I laid eyes on him, he showed me more in a passing game than Ronald Jones has ever shown me and more than Fournette's ever shown me. So he's already the best pass catcher out of the back. I'm going to pull a Bill Polian here, Ivor. A couple years ago on SiriusXM NFL Radio, a caller called him up and asked about Jameis Winston. And then a little bit later, Alex Marvez, his co-host, asked him about Jameis Winston. And Polian said, "What is all this chatter about Jameis Winston?" That's why I think about Giovanni Bernard. Good guy, nice player, but damn it, the Bucs averaged 30 points a freaking game last year, including the playoffs, including the Super Bowl. They have an elite downfield pass game, and I mean elite. We're sitting there wasting time about a guy that might get you 3 yards in a pass game out of the backfield. What? You got Chris Godwin, you got Antonio Brown, you got Mike Evans, you got Gronk, you got O.G. Howard, and we're wringing our hands over Giovanni Bernard? Really? Why? As Bill Polian would say. Why are we talking about Giovanni Bernard?
Lee, in the words of our boy Pat Kerwin, it's all about moving the chains, Steve. Moving the chains. That's why Bernard's here.
We got to get better. That's the allure. Got to get better. Got to keep it going, Ira, just like you. So, Ira, you know, get some more relaxation. We're going to need you for a hell of a season coming forward. I know that, you know, when you hit 80, things slow down a little bit. You need more time off. You know, I hope you have a great weekend. Not too much Big Storm beer on the diet.
Well, I got something for next week. I'm going to keep the Kemper company. And I have not been to one Buck since the pandemic broke out. I'm making my return. Lee tells me to bring a lounge chair. What do you want next, Lee? Flip flops and sunglasses? I mean, this ain't Daytona Beach over here.
Well, better bring sunglasses.
I'm going to see Mr. Arians once again. From one old timer to another, I will doff my cap to Bruce Arians and I'll congratulate Mike Greenberg because they just announced a whole bunch of elevations for personnel. And Mr. Greenberg is leading the pack over there, Stevie.
Yeah, the Glazers are cutting checks. All right, Ira, next time we're back, it'll be June. And then before you know it, it's July. And football season is here. We're fired up. Of course, we go all summer long, twice a week on the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, BillCurryFord.com. See ya, Ira.